In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with Luisa, who finds peace in everything in the Most Holy Divine Will, part one. So the finding of that peace is everything in the divine will. And this is where our God wants us to be. We are on page 5 at the top of the page, volume 4, 11 to 1900. So Jesus says, remain inside of me. This is what God is asking of us. He's asking us to allow ourselves, our focus is to be one with Jesus, fused with Jesus, remaining inside of Jesus. So he wants our intellect, our memory, and our will one with him. Remain inside of me. So he says, only there shall you find true peace and stable contentment. So in the world today, everybody's worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative. Just recently, people were so agitated that they emptied the stores out of toilet paper. And one of the memes was these aliens looking at the earth, and they said, what happened? And they said, they bought so much toilet paper that they wiped themselves out. And it's really that crazy. Jesus says, in all situations, he says, you have to have true peace. You have to have stable contentment. Our Lord loves us very, very much. Our Lord has got great plans for us. If he is really our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King, there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be anxious about. Our God is looking at us, and he's asking us to begin to trust in him and believe in him and hope in him and have confidence in him. This is what he's looking for. So he's asking us to remain inside of him. He is true peace. Only with Jesus. It doesn't matter where you are, even if you're in a concentration camp. If you're with Jesus, you're peaceful. You're joyful. You're happy. And that's what he wants us to begin to understand. If we say he is our Lord, he's our Savior, he's our Master, he's our King, he's our God, then he's going to take care of us. And we have this silly notion of what Benjamin Franklin said, God helps those who help themselves. No. The sacred scripture doesn't say that. God is looking for us to depend on him, seeking him, trusting him, confidence in him alone. So Jesus says very, very clearly, he says, only inside of Jesus shall you find true peace and stable contentment, because nothing penetrates into Jesus that does not belong to peace and contentment. This is the life that we're supposed to have. It's to be so confident in God that it's always fiat. Yeah, I trust in you, I believe in you, I have confidence in you. We surrender to God everything. We say, I give you all that I used to worry about, because I trust you, I believe in you, I hope in you. We surrender our family to him, we surrender our health to him, we surrender our wealth to him, we surrender our job to him, we surrender everything to him and say, Lord, you're in charge. Whatever you want is what I want. Jesus says this, the one who dwells in me does nothing but swim in this sea, this ocean of all contentments. Can you imagine a sea of contentment? It must be total peace, total joy, total happiness. There's nothing to worry about. Well, no, you got to worry. No, you don't have to worry. Jesus says that to his apostles. He says, does worry add one moment to your life? And he says, of course it doesn't. Then he said, stop worrying. He says, the soul who dwells in me does nothing but swim in this ocean of all contentments. While going outside of me, even if the soul did not bother about anything, at the mere sight of the offenses they give me and how they souls grieve me, the soul already comes to participate in those afflictions and remains troubled. I know so many people that can't listen to trials that people are going through. I just can't take it. I know some people that can't watch the Passion of the Christ. Oh, this hurts me too much. What happens is they love Jesus Christ, but he says, at the sight of the offenses that Jesus went through and how souls grieve Jesus, the soul already comes to participate in those afflictions or remain troubled. It's to say, not what I have to go through watching, it's how sad I am, Lord, that you went through this for me. I don't deserve your love and affection. But you did this, Lord, because of who you are. And what happens is we see the suffering, especially during Lent, especially during the hours of the Passion. We see what Jesus went through, how horrible the suffering that he went through. And he did this for us. He did this so that we will be redeemed. And Our Lady also, at the foot of the cross with Jesus, she watched him suffer. Her heart was pierced with a sword, watching what her son went through. Again, even if the soul does not bother about anything, but the mere sight of the offenses that souls give to God, they grieve God because they're upset. They're looking at themselves. Oh, pity me. I can't watch Christ crucified. I can't look at Christ crucified. I can't stand it. I don't want to look at this. While forgetting everything, he says, therefore, every once in a while, forgetting everything, those souls will enter into me, and then they will come to enjoy the peace, my peace, and my divine happiness. So it's not constant. These people are not constant. We are not constant. We become worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, and we abandon Jesus. And he says, all I can do is wait every once in a while. When they forget about everything, they will enter into me. They will come to enjoy my divine peace, my divine happiness. Jesus says, when you do this, he says, then go out and do for me the office of my repairer. Will you go out, Jesus says, of your worry, your fear, your anxiety, your complaints, your negativity, your sin, and do for me this office that I'm going to give you and become my divine repairer? Repair and redo. Again, that's the main thing in the divine will that God is calling us to do. Repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. So when you see something that's terrifying, that's terrible, that's against God, you say to Jesus, Lord, thank you for showing this to me. I'm sorry that this is happening to you. Lord Jesus, as you taught Louisa, I want to repair this and redo this as if this offense and all offenses did not exist. I want to bring you, Lord, the peace, the joy, the happiness of repairing and redoing in the most holy divine will. So God has given us an office. When God gave us the Book of Heaven, he says, every truth that I'm telling you in these 36 volumes is to help you begin to live this abundant life. This is an office that I'm going to give to you. I mean, think about it. The breviary is the office that the priest prays every day. This is, do for me this office of being my repairer, my redoing everything. This is the prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics Enkindle us the fire of your love, which is the divine will. Send forth your spirit, and we will be recreated, then you will renew the face of the earth. Volume 4, 4-19-1. Since grace is part of me, and this is what we want to always be in the state of grace. Since grace is part of me, as you possess grace with reason and by strict necessity, everything that forms your being cannot be without me. Everything. In grace, we become one with God. Remember, Our Lady was full of grace. When you make a good confession, you are full of grace at that point. And what the Lord is asking, he's saying, when with reason and by strict necessity, everything forms your being in this grace. And therefore, you cannot be without Jesus. This is where the happiness of the little children of the Holy Divine Will are. Why are the little children of the Holy Divine Will so happy? Because they are continuously with Jesus. Then Jesus says this. This is the reason why everything asks you for me. The trees, the flowers, the grains of sand, the blades of grass, everything is asking, Jesus says, ask you for me. Lord Jesus, gaze in my gazing, listen in my listening. You know, let me hear, let me see, let me smell, let me touch, let me taste all the I love yous that are out there. And I want to return these divine I love yous back to you, Lord, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. You can only do this in the state of grace. Again, being outside the state of grace, you can want it, but you have to go to confession. God gave us the sacraments and the sacramentals to help us, to bring us back to Him. Since grace is part of me, as you possess it with reason, by the strict necessity, everything that forms your being cannot be without me. This is the reason why everything asks you for me. We begin to hear the I love yous in all of creation. Smell the I love yous. Taste the I love yous. See, hear everything around us. Our senses become alive. And you are tortured continuously, saying, come back to God. Come back to the garden. Come back to adore God and to love God and to praise God and to glorify God and to worship God. In the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. Begin to live in creation by having your senses attuned to God's I love you. Begin to see the I love yous, to hear the I love yous, to smell the I love yous, and then give them back to God. And I love you, Lord, with your love, praising you, glorifying you with your praise, with your glory, with your adoration, as you originally planned for Adam. See, this is to let God pray in your praying. Let God gaze in your gazing. Jesus is there. How can you not be happy? He says very, very clearly, this is torturing you continuously. Since you are soaked, drenched with me, filled to the brim, with part of me, only when the souls possess me, not only in part, but completely, 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 then do they find true peace and remain content. He says it very clearly. You have to be soaked with Jesus, tortured continuously with the I love yous. I mean, this is a joyful torture. He's freeing you from the human and bringing you into the divine. Soaked with Jesus. Filled. If you're only filled with part of Jesus, he says, I want more than that. I want you to totally possess me. Completely possess me. And then, will you find peace? And will you always remain content? So it starts out with by being in the state of grace. And that means we have to be faithful to Christ and his church, obedient to Christ and his church. You can't do this separate from God. It's impossible. Impossible. So Jesus is asking us to enter into this life completely possessing God, filled with God, soaked with God, tortured continuously to leave the human and to embrace the divine. See, the reason they're using the word tortured is we love that which is human. And we are addicted to that which is human. Look at how what we're addicted to throughout all the earth. Just think of chocolate, people who are addicted to candy, who are addicted to television, who are addicted to food, who are addicted to even exercise. I can't stop, exercising. We have to be freed from that. Addictions are hard to give up. And it's like a torture when you try to turn away from it. Like chocolate. I mean, have you ever said, I will never have chocolate again? Why? I want to sacrifice it. I want to, again, think of what a sacrifice. It means to destroy it. Kill it. I want to sacrifice this. It's even with the human will. I've talked to people. I said, the very first thing that Our Lady teaches Louisa to sacrifice your human will. What does that mean? Well, you make a promise that you won't do it. And I said, no, that's not a sacrifice. Sacrifice is killing it. You will never give life to it again. And then what is it? Then you empty yourself of this, of your human will. What does that mean? Draining out of you the blood that is keeping you alive for this human. Yeah, this human will. Again, the human will is worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. You're going to say, I'm not going to do that anymore. It's like, I promise not to do that. No, it's got to end. It's got to die. You've got to put to death. No more worry. It's not going to have any part of my life anymore. No more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. That's what Jesus is teaching. And he says this very clearly. He says, soaked with me, filled with me completely, and then you will find peace. Then you will be content. Volume 4, 422:01. Do you know what I, God, want from you? Have you ever talked to Jesus about that? Jesus, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? And really getting into deep prayer. A lot of times with vocations, in your prayer, you get right to this point. Jesus says, do you know what I want from you? And a vocation means to, this will be my life. Why? Because this is what God wants. And you have to get to that point of recognizing what God wants for you. So, what Jesus says of the divine will, he says, I want you to become similar to me in everything. I want you to be so similar to me, both in operating and in the intention. Why are you doing what you're doing? For the glory of God, the salvation of souls. Why are you washing the dishes? Jesus says, why are you doing this? Jesus will say to you, I'm doing it, Lord. I want to wash the dishes. I want you to wash in my washing in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. So that the Father can receive all the glory, all the honor, all the praise that our Heavenly Father so rightly deserves. And so that the kingdom will be established on earth as it is in heaven. And I pray this in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. See, the Lord is always looking. He's saying, why are you doing this? Why are you watching TV? Why are you riding your bicycle? Why are you going for a walk? Okay, God is always saying, okay, what do you do? Why you say you want to live in the divine will, but why are you doing this right now? What is the reason for this? And so he wants us to answer that. And he says, I want you to be similar to me, both in operating and in the intention. Why are you doing this? I, God, want you to be respectful with everyone. Why are you talking to that person? See, it's to be similar to Jesus. So he says, I want you to be respectful with everyone. How many people to get impatient with? How many people are you curt with? How many people do you ignore? Jesus says, I want you to be respectful with everyone. Because respecting everyone gives my peace to everyone. And my peace to others. In the divine will, you're saying, Jesus, smile in my smiling. Jesus, wave in my waving. See, it's respectful to be respectful to everyone. When we're respectful with everyone, this is what we will learn. You're peaceful in all situations. I want you to give my peace to not only to yourself, but to others, that you may consider yourself the least of all. The way to do that is, you know, what we learned as children. J-O-Y. Jesus, others, yourself. You're last. You're the least. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. That's what true joy is. He says, you have to consider yourself the least of everyone. The littlest, the most insignificant. Hidden. As a matter of fact, that's what Father Bucci says. To live in the divine will, you have to be hidden, insignificant, and little insignificant and hidden. That's what Father Bucci says. If you're looking to have a name for yourself, you're certainly not in the divine will. If you're looking to get money so that whatever you're doing, again, you might have families to take care of, but your main goal is to be one with Jesus. He says, if he isn't the most important thing in your life, Jesus first, others second, yourself last, he says you're not even close to living in the divine will. You know, the prestige and power and money is where most people are going. And that's all going to be taken away. None of that gets into heaven. If that's your whole life, you're really on the wrong track. Jesus says those that save their life will destroy it. Those that lose their lives for my sake will find it. Those are the words of Jesus. So he says this. He says, consider yourself least of all that you meditate constantly on my teachings within your mind. What are the teachings of Christ? Not only the teachings of the Holy Church, the Gospels, the commandments, but now with this gift of the divine will, these truths that Jesus have taught Louisa. Meditate constantly on my teachings. Your memory has to be of Jesus. What did Jesus think? What was Jesus saying? What was Jesus doing? And he says, keep these teachings in your heart. So it's got, you have to love these and you have to know these and love these. And then on the occasion, you may find them always ready to be used and put into practice. You can help people around you, your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners. You can help the people around you with the teachings of Jesus that you love with your heart, that's found in your mind, that you're constantly ready to do something for the Lord. So Jesus says, in sum, I, God, want your life to be an outpouring of my life. I, God, want your life to be an outpouring of mine. You know, when you're baptized as a priest, prophet, and king. And we have to begin to live this. This is the beginning of being in God's image. And now with the book of heaven, all the truths that Jesus has taught you in the 36 volumes, he says you have to put it into practice. This has to be an outpouring of Jesus. And that's why Jesus is asking us to be in his likeness, image and likeness, to go back to where we were before the fall. This is to be one with Christ crucified, to be one with Christ resurrected, to be filled with the peace and the joy and the happiness of God reigning in us. Again, there's no worry. Jesus says, I know we've mentioned it so many times before, but when you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, you and I, if we're there, are anticipating hell. When you're peaceful, joyful, and happy, he says, you and I are anticipating heaven. This is so amazing. So amazing what our God is doing. So he says, keep them in your heart, keep them in your mind, put them into practice. He said, I, God, want your life to be an outpouring of mine. When you speak, I want people to hear me, Jesus says. When you gaze at people, I want people to see me gazing in your gazing. A smile on your face. You know, a wave to those that are oppressed. You have to become Christ for them. He says very, very clearly, I, God, want your life to be an outpouring of mine. Volume 4, 630, 1901. The second sign is that the speaking of the soul who possesses grace is peaceful and has the virtue of casting peace into other souls. So again, so he says this sign is that the speaking of the soul, okay, just talking to someone, you, if you possess grace, is peacefulness. Let's look at a child who's afraid, and the parent saying to the child, "Don't worry, everything's going to be fine." The child needs that. The child needs that. And the parent knows there's nothing to be afraid of. The child doesn't know that. And says, everything will be okay. Don't worry. Everything will be fine. If a parent is terrified as well, how does that help the child? The parent has to be stronger than the child. Giving that peace to the child. Again, it's very, very clear that this is what God is asking. If you are full of grace, you're happy. You've gone to confession. You've confessed your sinfulness. God, your sins have been forgiven through the absolution of the priest. And God has forgotten your sins. You are full of grace at that point. You teach your children. You have to live this way. And you will be peaceful. You'll be joyful. You'll be happy. Now, they might not listen to you at first, but you're the teacher. You're the parent. By your example, you give them the faith. And they will respond. Trust in God, not in your weakness, not in their misery, but trust in God, what God has given you. The confidence is what they see. They don't see any They don't see anybody confident in the world today. Everybody's afraid. Jesus says this again. This sign of the soul who possesses grace is peacefulness, and therefore casting peace into other souls. When you are peaceful, I remember a couple of times being in the hospital at the death of a child, and the parents are there, and what you can't say anything. There's nothing that you can say. You could just sit there with the parent. And I remember, while all this was happening, especially this one case, somebody came in and started talking. And I just sat there, and with the parents. And at the end, I couldn't say anything. All I could do was sit there. And the parents got up and they said, "Thank you, Father." And they walked past the person who was talking. And I'm going, it was surprising to me. It was shocking to me because I was just there. And sometimes that is enough in prayer. See, when you're praying, especially in the divine will, Christ is there. When just sitting in silence sometime, it's Our Lady, Jesus and Mary are there. And that's what you give. You give to others the peace that's inside. You don't have to say anything. Jesus says, casting peace into other souls. And this is so much so that the same thing said by one who does not possess grace makes no impression and brings no peace. That's exactly what we were saying. The same thing said by one who does not possess grace makes no impression, brings no peace. Well, if they are said by one who possesses grace, they operate in a marvelous way and brings peace back to the hearts of souls. A lot of people are just overwhelmed with grief. They're overwhelmed with sadness. And our job is to bring Christ to them. But Christ has to reign in us. Christ, He has to be there in us. And you don't have to say anything. Even in your home, when families get together, for Christmas, Easter, birthdays, when anniversaries, when families get together, to bring peace to that family, Jesus has to be there. But Jesus says, "I have to reign in you to bring that about." You don't have to say anything. You don't have to be, the entertainer. You just let the Lord be there. Let the Lord be there with your gaze, with your smile. And let the Lord reign in you. And that's what He's saying. He says, bring peace back to the hearts of your brothers, your sisters, your friends, your family, your neighbors, your co-workers. This is how God wants to work. This is what God is asking. Volume 4, 727, 1901. Therefore, your eye must be kept on whether there is true virtue and whether in everything it can be felt that the truth is present, though sometimes obscured. As for the rest, one must remain tranquil and in holy peace. Again, this is where, God is asking us in the divine will to be in true virtue in everything. Truth must be present. And again, you don't beat somebody over the head with truth. It's basically, he says, tranquil and peaceful. Peaceful, joyful, and tranquil. this is what the divine will does. As you begin to read every day, as Jesus starts speaking to you every day, especially with the calendar. I mean, well, right now it's Lent and we're doing the 24 hours of the Passion as well. Letting Jesus speak to you, letting Jesus guide you and direct you. As the Lord speaks to you, he's healing you. As you're reading, you're being healed. Every day you go to your room and close the door and pray, you are becoming tranquil. You're becoming filled with a holy peace. Why? Jesus is there. He's speaking to you. He's getting rid of your worry, your fear, your anxiety, your complaints, your negativity, and your sin. He, the Lord God Almighty, is present. He says this book of heaven, he says to Louise, it's not yours, it's mine. He's asking us, he's pleading with us, would you remain peaceful with a holy peace? And when you listen to the saints talk about contemplative prayer, this is what they were talking about. This holy peace that enters into the soul, that makes the soul tranquil, that truth is present in the soul. That's Jesus. True virtue is present in the soul. That's Jesus. You're operating. God is operating in us when Jesus beat in my heart beating, breathe in my breathing, walk in my walking, gaze in my gazing. I want you, Lord. I give you permission, Lord, to reign in me. I don't want to hold the reins anymore. I want you to direct me. I want you to think in my thinking and speak in my speaking. I want you to believe in my believing. I don't want to humanly believe anymore. I want to believe from a divine perspective. See, it's that dying of the ego, of your ego and your will. It's the dying of the human will in your life and saying to God, I want to exchange this human will for your divine will. This is what God is asking. He loves us so much. He has planned this from the beginning of time that we have this gift. Volume 4, 10, 11, 1901. My daughter, what a war is being nourished in the moral world. It is horrifying to see it. The war is the war against God. It goes back to Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between you, Lucifer, and the woman, between your seed and hers. It's a war that's being nourished by what? Television, radio, newspaper, magazines, movies, Hollywood, sports. I mean, just think about sports on Sunday. That's people's gods. Well, let's just play golf on Sunday. Oh, this is the Lord's day. This is the Lord's day. And I want to honor the Lord. Oh, he's not going to mind if you play a little sports here, a little sports there. This is the Lord's day. I want to honor the Lord this day. See, it's what we know and what we have to put into practice. There is a war that's nourished in the moral world, and it's horrifying to see it. It's terrifying to see it. I've said this before, the children don't have a chance. The parents want to raise the children, the good parents want to raise the children with the best. And the best isn't what the world gives. The best is God. The sacraments. Prayer. The fathers are to give the blessings to the children. The good fathers do that. They bless their children. They pray with their children. They give their faith to the children. Jesus says it's horrifying to see what's going on. Yet the first nourishment that should be sought in society, in families, and by each soul should be that of peace. The peace of Christ be with you. Not just peace, holy peace. Jesus, the Prince of Peace. This is why, you know, families should have a holy water font at their door. You teach the children, bless yourself when you come in. Bless yourself when you go out. It's horrifying out there. People are living without God. It's a fight between Lucifer and Jesus. And most people have surrendered to Lucifer, not Jesus. All other nourishments become unhealthy without peace, without Jesus. Their virtues themselves, charity, repentance, without peace, they bring neither health nor true sanctity. Without Jesus, how can you truly be holy? Without Jesus, how can you have any virtues? How can you be loving and have true repentance without Jesus? How can you really become healthy without Jesus? Or most especially, how can you be sanctified without Jesus? We have to understand we are at war. And when you leave your house, make sure you have your rosary in one pocket, wearing the scapular around your neck, and a crucifix in the other pocket. That's what St. Louis de Montfort says. Rosary in one hand, crucifix in the other. These are our weapons. Miraculous medal. St. Michael medal. The medal of the St. Benedict medal. And April 23rd medal. It's important that we go out into battle with our weapons. Holy water. Everybody should have holy water. I have holy water in my car. Holy oil. Especially the doctors and the nurses. To bless people. Just to bless them. God has given you the opportunity to bring healing to the sick and the suffering. You can bring spiritual healing. A friend of mine, when she was a nurse, and she always wore medals on her, at that time they wore uniforms, the nurse's outfit, and they called her medals because she always had medals pinned all over her. And she'd have a medal for the saint against cancer, a medal for Saint Joseph, all that needed to be for healings. And she'd say, pray to the saint. Now we have Louisa. And the miracles that are going to happen through Louisa are unbelievable. And the world is going to know Louisa. If you have a relic card of Louisa, I mean, even if you have a relic card of Louisa, you can get one of those clasps that open and close, and take the relic off the prayer card, put it in the little heart that you wear around your neck, and never be without Louisa. You're going to find out how important this is. Father Bucci says, when the time comes, because Jesus talks about this, he said he's going to have to release all the demons. And Louisa says, why, Lord? And he says, this is what mankind wants, and I have to give it to them. If you have a relic of Louisa, the demon can't come near you. Why? Louisa had the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. Watch what's coming with the power that God has blessed her with. Yet this nourishment is necessary and solitary that has been discarded by today's world, and they want nothing but turbulence, nothing but wars. My daughter, pray, pray. Get ready. God has blessed us in an immense way. Don't worry about your family, your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, your parishioners. Pray. Pray for them. Pray the command prayer. Learn that prayer. Watch what God will do. Your prayers are powerful. God needs you to turn to Him with total confidence, total trust. It's going to get tough. It's going to get tough, Jesus says. Just like a woman giving birth, it's going to be more frequent, more painful. But what's coming is the kingdom. Don't be discouraged. Trust in Him, believe in Him, hope in Him, have confidence in Him, and live that true peace that Jesus wants you to possess, which is Himself. So we'll end there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.